Now, I'm already chatting to my guest off air, and he's just told me something that I'm very interested in. We'll talk about that in a second. So I'm joined for the second part of the book club by writer and musician T.G. Trooper. Have I said that correctly?
You have.
Thank you. And he's turned up. He's gifted me the books in the trilogy, the Astrid trilogy, which I'm really excited to read. And we've got a little key ring as well. And this, which is amazing. Tell everybody what this is. Just describe.
That's a QR code. Rather than having people type in the address, which they'll forget, and let's face it, nobody wants to do, they just scan that with their phone, goes straight to the, providing they've got a mobile phone that can do it, yep, as everybody has, not the old Nokia users, and that takes us straight to the website.
Excellent. Now, we're going to talk about the books in a while, but first off, let's talk about when did you get the writing bug?
I first got the writing bug 40 years ago. Was trying to write science fiction on a typewriter. Really noisy, if anybody remembers those. And then life gets in the way, you get married, you have children and work, and it all kind of fades away. My writing really wasn't very good. And then a few years ago, it was 2011, I was driving home from work one day, and I was thinking about some books I'd read on holiday. And Val McDermid's stories, brilliant. Dan Brown, brilliant. And I read some first-time author books, and one was excellent. I can't remember the title. Second one was by a first-time author, and that was called Bite, and that was brilliant. You could really visualise the world that had been created. And there were another two that were absolutely terrible, really irritatingly bad. And so I was driving and thinking, I could write better than that. So the next thought was, well, I suppose I'd better try. And so kind of sat down tentatively on the computer, having an idea. And the advice is always to write the story that you'd want to read. And I would want to read a war story that wasn't about the war. It would be about how conflict changes people and how ordinary people find themselves doing things that they would never, ever have dreamt of, which is why the title of the first book is called War Changes People.
Yeah.
And the main character, Astrid, she's a young actress, and I thought, what would be the person who will be changed the most? So she's a young actress. She gets her big break on a film, and on the very first day, the country gets attacked by a belligerent neighbour. She sees her friends get killed. She sees lots of people get killed, and she realises that being an actress is a little bit vapid, a little bit trivial, and she's got to do something because she sees the dead bodies of soldiers and that, and realises she's got to do something for her country. So that changes her a little bit, and she becomes a nurse. And by and by, a couple of years later, an even more dramatic event happens, and it changes her completely. She is recruited into the army as an undercover agent who uses her acting skills to become different characters as she's moving through. She'll be a like dumpy girl with bad glasses and a limp in one, and the next chapter she's an elegant, well-educated daughter of a rich hotelier, and so on and so forth. And she is able to stay in plain sight, stay in the enemy territory pretty much constantly, carrying out her missions. And she's also very good at making all her missions look like accidents. So the enemy aren't really aware of her. But then by and by, another enemy general, a woman called Bridget, becomes aware of her. And they're kind of not so much chasing each other around the country, but Astrid isn't aware that she's known about.
Yeah.
But Bridget is trying to find out where she is. And it's all of a sudden she realises that this assassin is a woman and is hiding in plain sight.
Who is she based on? And if you were going to have an actress to play her, which would be the dream for any writer to get their books with a film or TV series, who in your mind would be Astrid?
Alicia Vikander.
Oh, what's she been in? I don't recognise her name.
She was in the remake of Tomb Raider.
Oh, yes, yes.
What I really liked about her character in that is she didn't start off as this kickboxing warrior woman. She started off very much as a, think she was a student, that actually falls into it. And that's exactly what happens with Astrid.
Yeah.
She doesn't start off as this sort of kick-ass. If, oh, can I say that?
Apologies for that word, but nemesis. Sorry about that. Best not on daytime radio.
Okay, I won't read any of the books then. They're soldiers and they swear a lot. Mm. She doesn't start off as a warrior woman. It's something she grows into, and it's a latent skill that she didn't know she had because she'd never needed it before.
Mm.
And that's so it goes.
And you've got three books there. So from the very beginning of being quite a green, as she was an actress, by the time you get to the third book, her personality is completely changed.
Actually, by the time you get to the second book takes over 10 years later, where she is kind of, I won't say disillusioned, but nothing she can do can affect the war. It's descended into border skirmishes.
Mm.
It's got very uncomfortable parallels with Ukraine, unfortunately. It was written well before then, but it's developed into skirmishes, and she goes out on missions and nothing's making a difference, and she's fed up with it. And she makes a mistake and she gets captured. I won't go through the rest of it because it'll give too much of it away, but it becomes, she does meet Bridget in there.
Mm. Yeah. And then we got the third book. Is there going to be any more, or without giving too much away? Or is
I think probably not. The third book very much is filling in the backstories of four of the characters, four significant characters that are in the other two books.
Mm.
The third book largely came about because a friend of mine asked me to write a specific story about one of the characters, and I couldn't think of how to do it for about 5-6 years.
Mm.
And then I thought it would have to come in as a backstory between all the others, how the kind of each one did affected what the others were doing and how they became and how it changed them all. There's a girl in there who becomes arrogant because she feels that she is not being taken notice of, but actually she is, but she can't see it because she's an arrogant person.
Mm.
So she turns into a traitor.
With writing, I mean, I know you're a musician as well and you've worked in the industry a long time. And do you actually, because it's slightly different when you write music, or is it different to writing a book? And do you actually have to go and sit in a room as a writer and go, right, now I'm going to do 4 hours. I don't care if I don't write anything. So how did you do it? Because to write that amount, it must, you know, you've got to have some discipline.
Most of the first two books were written between 5 o'clock in the morning and about 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning, where I'd get up completely fresh and had all, your mind isn't cluttered up with other things. But now it'll be any time of the day. I take my computer to work with me and, yes, that's an idea. I'll just jot that down and I can use that later. And then I don't ever have a plan. I tried having a plan. This character does this, and it never works.
Yeah.
I tried having a timeline and it never works because all of a sudden you'll have an idea and you write that down, but that then changes something else you've written. You have to go back and change it to make it make more sense.
Yeah.
And although it makes it quite difficult to write like that, I really enjoy it because all of a sudden you'll get an idea. I could be driving home from here today and all of a sudden there'll be, oh, actually, I could do that.
Yeah.
Then I write it down and think, well, I've now got to change where I thought it was going. The books started off very different to how they ended. Mm. Very, very different. Astrid was a much, much darker character to the point where I had to change it because it would have been difficult to the reader to empathise because you have to have a goodie and you have to have a baddie.
Yeah.
But the point of the books is, it's a very blurred line between the two. And the second book is called Good People Do Bad Things, and Astrid does some bad things.
Yeah.
And she hates herself for it, but it's necessary because, you know, if she hadn't have done that, lots of other people would have died. So it's the way she has to justify it in her mind and deal with her conscience later.
Now, you've come in today and you've gifted me the three books, which I will love because I love a physical book. Anyone who listens to this show, whenever I do the book club, I don't mind a Kindle. I used to have one. I don't like I just don't like it. I like a nice book where it's crisp, nobody else has touched it. Yeah. And if anyone else touches my books before I actually touch them, I go mad, I can't bear it. But you're so organised, and people have to, you know, if you're out there writing books and whatever business you do, you've come in today, you've got your T-shirt on, you've also got your books, as I said, you've got your key ring, you've got your, I can't remember what this is called now, I've forgotten.
QR code.
QR code. I should know this, Michelle. You're very organised, and you have to be, because you're selling your product.
My wife made this T-shirt.
Did she?
Yeah.
Wow. I might get to do some stuff for me. So you do have to, how much of, I know you've given me some reviews here, which we should have, let me put my little glasses on, because otherwise I can't see what I'm doing. I've got, loved it from page one to the end. You've got Sally said, two women find themselves on opposite sides of a brutal war. Astrid was a confident young budding film actress, but her world gets ripped apart by a bomb attack. She enrolls in the army in a senior position and becomes an undercover assassin. You've got a great read, very difficult to put down, says Dave. And Gary said, good first novel, sucks you in from the start as you warm to the main character immediately. There is some doubt as to who the bad guy is or are, but ultimately for me it was an easy choice. I hope there will be a book two. Well, there is a book three. So what do you do now with the books? They're out there.
Just trying to market, doing things like this, trying to get people aware. There's a million books published every year.
Yep.
And so you're very much a salmon in the river.
Mm.
Hoping that you don't get fished out by a bear. Yeah. I've had the first book, Astrid Book One, was exhibited at the London Book Fair, and I've had lots of emails. A lot of them, you read them and you think, this is not genuine, this is a scam, they want the money. Somebody even offered me and said they wanted to turn it into a film, and I was very excited for about 30 seconds, and then I read through what they'd put. No mention of the plot, no mention of the character names, no mention of the plot twists. And then they got to the shared financing and thought, well, okay.
Yeah.
I'm a member of the Society of Authors anyway, so I sent it off to them and they came back and said, yeah, don't bother.
Yeah.
Don't bother that if somebody just wants your money. It also didn't help that when I researched the company, I found they went bankrupt in 2020.
No, that doesn't help.
Started up with a slightly different name.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yes. So those are exciting. They get your hopes up, but then it all kind of goes away. Book three is going to be exhibited at the Frankfurt International Book Fair and Sharjah, which until I've read that, I didn't even know was a place. It's the bit of Dubai that isn't Dubai. So we'll see what comes of those.
Mm.
But everybody who writes is waiting for the phone call from Steven Spielberg, aren't they? You know, that's yeah. the dream. Actually, no, being made into a game is even more lucrative.
Oh, yes, yeah.
But I don't really know how they could be made into a game, but... willing to keep
I'm sure somebody put that. I used to like the Tomb Raider games. I used to love those. My age, I am a person who used to have the very first sort of gaming machine, so I remember all that. The thing is with it's a similar thing to the music industry, actually, because I play a lot of independent music on my show, and you have that people to just sometimes have to go outside of their comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And because you will read your Dan Browns, you might read, I don't know, Michael Connolly, and you reach for those books, and it's like you reach for a certain music. But then when you hear new stuff, which is as good as the top songs that you're listening to, it's to actually give independent books, independent writers, independent music a chance and actually go, wow, this is really good.
The number one comment I get from people who've read my books is, why isn't this a film?
Yeah.
Why isn't this on Netflix? And yes, please. Yes, Mr. Netflix, I would very much like that.
And really, it's for you. It's as you said, you need to, you're going on different radio and it's promotion all the time. You cannot slow down. You can't just do one radio show. Mm. You have to do loads of them. You have to be in on the socials all the time, because it's like any other business. Otherwise, people don't know that you're there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sending books out to people who I know, and I'm saying to them, share it with as many people as you like. That's how the guy who wrote The Martian got the film deal, because he just giving copies away, and sooner or later it dropped into the right person's hands.
Yeah.
So that's the dream, but there are a lot of writers out there and everybody wants their books to be successful. Well, why wouldn't they?
And you're also a musician as well.
I do play guitar and I do sing in a band.
And you were doing gig last night.
I was rehearsing last night because since the end of lockdown, it's actually been quite difficult to get gigs.
Yeah.
Particularly with the kind of stuff we play, we don't play the usual sort of chart hits because we're all too old, really. So we play sort of songs that people should remember, but maybe are not at the top of their memory.
Yeah.
And we'd like it. We're going to carry on playing what we play. And if other people don't like it, then don't have to listen to it. There's plenty of other people, but it'd be nice if they did.
What's the band called?
The band is called Delta Grooves.
Right. And do you play, you know, sort of Billericay, Brentwood area? What sort of area are you playing?
We played in Rittle a lot. We played at the Brentwood Club down by the station. Can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Played in Southend area, that sort of places. Yeah. But like I say, since the end of lockdown, it's been quite hard to get in. I think a lot of places that had bands suddenly realised, oh, we did all right without bands. Let's not try it for a while.
Yeah.
We've got a gig coming up in November the 18th in Hatfield Peveril at the Swan. A little plug there. If anybody's listening and want to come along, please.
Yeah.
I sing much better than I talk.
Oh, you got a great voice. I saw the Fat Penguins the other day. They were at, I think, the Bull in Ingatestone, and they did like a lot of songs from the 60s, but they're songs that you wouldn't really know. Yeah. So similar kind of thing. And then Exposé, like one of the biggest kind of cover bands they were on afterwards. But it was great. It's just a lovely afternoon and the pub was rammed. So if you're out there with a business and you want to bring people in, get a band in. Because what you're paying them for, the money you get back with an audience and people, because people just seem to want to enjoy themselves more after lockdown, definitely.
Yeah. Although I did at a gig in Gallywood last year, have somebody, while I was singing, walk up, stand in front of the microphone and said, "You haven't played any songs that I know."
No.
I said, "I don't know what songs you know, do I?" And he kind of gave you this blank look and just wandered off. And
it's like, you always get those type of people that get at gigs that suddenly stand right in front of them. Oh, they dance right in front of you.
Yeah.
I have a problem because I'm 5'1". So if somebody dances in front of me and they're quite wide, you can't see me at all. That's it. So the books... You must go and have a look at your website. It's all the W's.
tgtrooper.ampbk.com.
And all those details, I will put the link up on the website. So when you go through, you just click on. Also, the books as well. Whereabouts can you get them?
It can be ordered through any bookshop or online through my directly through the website. Yes, and they're in Braintree Library. I'm trying to get them to Fiona Library. So they're in the Chicken and Frog.
Hey,
and they're also in, probably a little bit out of the area, but in the Red Lion Bookshop in Colchester. So, yes, the Chicken and Frog were very nice.
Yes.
Very nice lady.
Natasha is amazing. She was in last week, in fact.
Oh, right.
Yeah, she comes into the studio. Yeah. Know her very well. And she supports Independent Bookshop. And she supports lots of authors, writers, and has loads of events down there. I think there was one there at the weekend, actually.
Okay.
But she's, expanded. I mean, the shop started off quite small round at Wilson's Corner, and now she's taken over three shops on Crown Street.
Yes, so I saw that.
Yeah,
that's very nice, very nice.
Yeah, and very supportive as well, and there's lots of things going on. So you've got book one, War Changes People. Book two, Good People Do Bad Things. And then book three, The Early Missions.
And that sits between the two other ones, basically.
Mm. So, what's next for you? Have you got to... Well, you must be doing something else.
Oh yes. I'm doing a lot. The next one out will... Change of Direction will be a horror story, about 30,000 words novella, maybe, short novel. That is due out sometime in January next year.
Yeah.
And there'll be another one in the horror series sometime after that. I don't know exactly when. But I've got a whole series of eight crime novels that I've written, and I'm halfway, about 90% of the way through a dystopian thriller.
Yeah.
And I've got a couple of other things on the glow at the same time.
Wow. And this is sort of just all in the last couple of years. It's just sort of like come through. Wow.
I mean, I wrote one of the books. It was about a disease. I wrote that during lockdown, but it wasn't a lockdown novel, and it wasn't about COVID. It just happened to have a disease in it. Some books take me ages to write. Others come off very quickly. If I can visualise what I want to see, if I can see the image in my head, it becomes easy. If I can't, then it's hard work. That's when they take a long time. I won't call it writer's block, but I was 95% of the way through one story and I could not think of where to go. I didn't want to write rubbish. And it's 3 months of like, am I doing this right? Why am I bothering doing that? Then all of a sudden it came to me. And I get inspiration from anywhere. There was in one of the stories I wrote, it was about a female police officer going back from maternity leave, being put on light duties for a while. I don't know if that happens, but in the story it did. And I needed about 300 words to join two parts of the story together. And driving to work, somebody stepped off the curb in front of me with their head in their mobile phone. I'd seen what was going to happen and slowed down and turned around and he glared at me as if it was my fault. Yeah. He wasn't watching where he was going. I thought, thank you very much. That became the 350 words that I needed.
Yeah.
So inspiration comes from anywhere.
Yeah. It's great to talk to you. Do you give talks as well? Is that something else you know?
No, it's something I'm working on. I'm trying to get in contact with the Essex libraries.
Yeah.
I've been to a few and the staff there are very keen, but then it's getting hold of the right person in the Essex libraries authority to give me permission to actually do it. I've got all the equipment.
Yeah.
Playing in a band, I've got the PA system, I've got the radio microphones, I've got all of that.
Yeah.
So that side of it is completely taken care of. It's just, like I say, getting to the right person and getting that person to say yes, and then I can quite happily talk about what I do. And people ask me questions. Hopefully they've read the book and ask me why the character does this, and I can say yes. The baddie in the books, again, isn't a complete baddie. She is a alcoholic, chain-smoking psychopath.
Right.
I always ask people if there's any one character they'd like to meet in real life, who would it be? A lot of women say Bridget.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because she's so strong, so tough. There's a sequence in the first book about her which is based on reality. It's based on things I've learned through talking to soldiers and things I've read, where she has to go through a brutal test of endurance because she's the first woman in the army to get to that position. There are no rules of how to deal with a woman. So she goes through exactly the same tests to test her stamina and endurance as all the men would go through. And no account is made. When she joins the army, there aren't female uniforms for combat soldiers, so she has to wear men's stuff that doesn't fit properly. So she has to fight against all that. That's the enemy officer. Astrid's country is much more enlightened, kind of like Sweden, I suppose, smaller, much more technologically advanced, much more liberal, so she doesn't have those problems. But so Bridget has to fight against the problems in her country and the enemy.
Yep.
So that, I think that makes her quite tough.
Good, strong women characters.
All of my books have strong women characters. Yeah. Maybe Freud might have something to say about that.
Well, it's been lovely to talk to you. Really good to meet you. Thank you so much for giving me the books, because I absolutely love books, and I will be reading them.
Thank you very much. And I'd like to thank Sylvia Kent for organising this for me.
Yeah, Sylvia. We do love you, Sylvia. She brings in some great guests. Been doing that for the last 12 years.
I know.
Yeah. And she's a good writer as well. And she makes nice wine, but we mustn't talk about that on air. Anyway, right, here we go. It's just coming up to 12:29. Thank you very much to my guest in the studio, T.G. Trooper. You will find all the Astrid books online. You can go along to his website as well. All the details will be up on the website a little bit later. Right, coming up now is A Strong Woman. This is Beyoncé with America Has a Problem.